sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And it's my intention that as a result of listening to the show each week, that you do get sexier and happier in your life. I mean, otherwise, what's the point? I'm committed to that, and I'm committed to you having great sex life, whether you have a partner or you don't have a partner, whether you have multiple partners, that doesn't really matter to me. Just that you realize that your sexual energy fuels your own happiness and peace of mind. That's always what's behind the scenes for me. Well, today I have a great lineup for you. This is a Valentine's show, and so we're going to be talking about a current book and how the book spurred somebody on to start a blog and a website that would help people be sexier and happier. And also we're going to have some Valentine's tips from one of my guests who likes to appear on the show almost every Valentine's time of the year. So first I want to introduce you all to Lynn Bloom Deutsch. Lynn has been working and training in the areas of health and sexuality for years. After she read the book 50 Shades of Grey, I'm not sure if she read the trilogy either, we'll find that out, but after she read 50 Shades of Grey, she started to get an idea, and it started to gel. Why not combine her knowledge of erotica, her study of sexuality and health, and bring it all together? And so she created a new website, and the website is called Shades of Mama, and she's going to be telling us about that on the show and why it was born and how you might go to that site and learn there and use it for your own sexuality and your own health. So I'd like to welcome Lynn Bloom Deutsch to the show. Welcome to Sex and Happiness, Lynn.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you, and it's exciting to talk with you about how you were inspired by this book, especially for the Valentine's Day show. My first question for you really is, did you read all three books of the 50 Shades of Grey to start with?
Absolutely. In fact, after I read the first, I don't think I was even done with the first until I ran out for the second.
What was it about the first book that fascinated you and inspired you to jump quickly, and now it's inspired you to start a business?
Was reading the book. And so that's really what got me to start reading it in the first place. And then when I read it, I was fascinated. It was it's not great literature.
It's terrible.
No, I agree with you. You know, how many times can you say my inner goddess? So it is really, and you know, there's syntax and there's all these, you know, little errors in it, but it's a fun read. And there's something about the story that is very relatable. So, and that's really what intrigued me the most. I mean, I thought the story was, you know, a nice, juicy story. Mm. I mean, it had that erotic component to it, which definitely, for me, I think it works for most people.
For me, it was difficult. I found it to be a little boring. Like, I thought the story was okay, but I know for a fact, in reality, I don't think that people explode on each other in orgasm all the time. Like, there were some parts of it for me that were just, like, unreal. I understood the playing with BDSM and the domination and the submission thing, especially since I've been doing this show, Sex and Happiness. I've had all kinds of people on the show and all kinds of experts in the field of anything goes, you name it, in terms of sex and happiness. So the book didn't offend me. It was just, I know myself, it's impossible to every time with a partner both come slash orgasm at the same exact time and melt into each other and everything. For me, it was like a little hyper dramatic, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because the sex was completely unrealistic. I agree with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, completely. I mean, she could come with basically you looked at her and she came. And so what I also think is really interesting is that I've been wondering about this, if women today really think that that is a model for good sex. Because the book it's almost outselling the Bible.
Whoever's the publicist for this book or the distribution for this book has done a phenomenal job. So I hear it's one of the biggest selling books of all times. So, but it inspired you. So besides the fact that the sex was unrealistic, there were erotic elements too. I mean, would this be a good Valentine's Day gift for someone who hasn't read it yet? Would you recommend somebody running right out and buying all three books?
Yes. Well, I would recommend buying the first. You know, it's funny, I have a women's group here, and these are not the traditional women that you would expect to read something like this. And I said, I want to buy you guys something, you know, this is for Christmas, but I think it's going to be their Valentine's present now. And I asked them if they wanted a copy of 50 Shades of Grey, and 10 out of the 12 were really into reading it, which was just amazing. So I think it would be a great gift.
Now, I have discussed this book before on the show. I mean, the phenomenon of this book. What is it that's so exciting about this book? What is it that's making it jump off the bookshelves?
Well, you know, it's funny because I think that the publicist did a good job, but this is the way this book is being spread around is from other women. I mean, people are basically telling everybody to read this book. And so everybody seems to be intrigued by it. I think the story is somewhat relatable. I mean, I have friends that are reading it for the story and not even for the sexual aspect, which I think is really interesting also. I don't know. I think it's a spin on old Hollywood romances of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten into a sort of stories that people can sort of relate to, they can escape with, that have sort of, you know, a yummy sexual component to them. And I think it says a lot about where we are sexually, too. I mean, also, I think that...
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, I think it's fascinating because I think that a lot of women really, there is no place for them to talk about sex in this world, in this culture. And I think that the book has opened up a conversation where women can start to talk about sex in a way that they didn't have an opening before. I think that this is part of it.
Okay. I mean, I can relate to that. I can definitely... There used to be women's groups. I don't know. You said you had one, but basically, their women's groups also seem like the old Harlequin novels.
Right. Well, no, we have a really high vibe women's group where we meditate and I mean, I live in Hawaii, so these women are just, you know, they're pretty trippy.
Sure, so, sure.
Not your traditional, but you know, I think also what's interesting about this is a lot of women are reading this. Traditional women that, you know, live in suburbia and are moms and have kids and are married. And for them, I think there's even less of a place for them to speak about sexuality.
Mm.
You know, that's who's buying this book. I mean, my sister and her friends, they live in Florida in the suburbs. And they're voraciously reading this and they're talking about it.
Mm.
Where before, she said, you know, it was very hard for them to talk about anything, you know, having to do with their sexuality.
Mm.
So that's what inspired me more than anything else. It wasn't the book per se at all. I mean, I've read many things like it over the years, but it was what the book was saying about the conversation we need to be having around our sexuality these days, and that we need to be able to open up that conversation more.
Yes, agreed. So it's really the book sparking a bunch of conversations that are needed and necessary and haven't been around or haven't been encouraged. People haven't had the encouragement to have conversations about their sexuality, especially women.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, yeah, so it would be a great Valentine's gift then for anyone listening to give to their partner. Do you think men should read the book?
I think a lot of men have read it.
Uh-huh.
I think men, you know, there's studies been done that men like watching, you know, women like to read more than men because they visualize the scenes, you know, more. There's something about the way women do it, and that's the other reason I think reading erotica for women is much more exciting rather than watching it. So if you're a man who likes to read erotica or wants to try it, I think that that would be, you know, a fun thing to do. I know my husband read it. He lasted about 5 minutes. Maybe not even that long.
So he lasted 5 minutes into the book and he said this is boring?
He just like, you know, it's, yes, exactly. He just, you know, he's not somebody who gets reading erotica at all. And I think there are a lot of men like him.
I like to always give a working definition, if I can, with people of what really we mean by when we say erotica. And I don't know if you agree with me, but my definition is erotic art, erotic film or book is where I, as the receiver or the person interacting with this art form, I fill in the blanks. Like I, just what you're saying, like I picture what really happens in my own mind. I'm not led to the smash bang ending. I'm actually somebody who's making it up in my own mind. I'm left with some questions and with my own creative energy to complete the scene.
Absolutely, I agree. I completely agree.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah. So we can agree on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is a great place to start. We're actually going to take a little break here. And when we come back, I'm going to be asking you about this Shades of Mama website that you started as a result of reading these books, like how it sparked your creative energy. So when we come back, I'll be speaking with Lynn Bloom Deutsch, and Lynn, after reading 50 Shades of Grey, started to combine her knowledge and her study of sexuality and health, and she started this new website, Shades of Mama, and we're going to find out what that is. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. This is the Valentine's Show, and I'm speaking with Lynn Bloom Deutsch, who is a sexuality and health educator. She's been training people in these areas for years. And by the way, Lynn, I didn't ask you, but what areas, you know, tell us a little bit about your training in sexuality and health and what you were doing before you started this website, and then we'll get into what this website means and what it means for people who are listening.
I started my journey into tantric training probably about 15 years ago when I was living in New York City, and I had sexual issues that I wanted to work out, and for many years I tried to figure them out on the couch, which didn't really seem to work. It just wasn't the right place to deal with that. And that's really where it started, and I went off to a tantra retreat, and it really changed my world. It was a life-changing experience, and then I was so taken with the work that I decided to train in it for years and help other women deal with their sexuality as a result.
Wow, that's great. That's pretty much what happened to me.
Amazing work. I mean, it's just about.
Yeah. Well, so then, you know, rolling forward into the now, after reading 50 Shades of Grey, you got this inspiration. So what exactly is this site, Shades of Mama? What does it mean? Is it only for mothers? Who would it appeal to? What's your intention?
Okay, well, so I live in Hawaii, and I am married, and I have a 9-year-old, and I struggle all the time with, like, how to keep pleasure on the top of, you know, how to put my attention on my pleasure, especially when reading. raising a child, which I think is very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talk to women all over, and even women without children, I think that they're sometimes challenged as well. Well, where does pleasure come into the list and fun? And so after reading 50 Shades, I just started having all these conversations with women about, you know, where they were with their sexuality. And I really sensed like a void in the culture around just a need for people to be able to talk about their sexuality. And the other thing that came up was that people, after they read 50 Shades, said, well, what do I read next? And I said, oh, I know what to tell them to read next. I've been reading and writing erotica for 20 years. So the idea was sort of born. I said, well, I can certainly recommend really, you know, really good, fun erotica, probably a lot better than, you know, stuff that's better than 50 Shades, for sure. And we can start to have a conversation about sexuality and health, because I think it's hard to look at your sexuality if you're not feeling so good health-wise.
Right. Okay, so talk a little bit about that aspect. Like, when you say when you're not feeling so good, like, what are you focusing on in terms of?
I think women all over the country, because of what we're dealing with around our food and our environment and everything else, are dealing with a slew of things, you know, autoimmune diseases. And I mean, it's just, I don't really speak to a woman who doesn't have something going on. So, yeah, food and the way we're eating and the way we're living is a huge component to what's going on these days. So for me, they kind of, it's hard for me to look at my sexuality without, you know, also I want to look at my diet, my health, and my exercise, and my mindfulness practice. I'm also, I went to Duke when I was living in North Carolina and got trained as an integrative health coach. And I really think it's important to bring in, really, not look at, in our culture, we have a tendency to look at all the areas except our sexuality. But I also think when you look at your sexuality, it's important to look at the other areas as well.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, we don't deal with the sexuality. Like, how's everything? You go to the doctor, and the doctor asks everything except, how's your sex life?
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
It's amazing. So, and then who knows what they know if you were to ask the doctor about your sex life.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're particularly targeting women who need to put their pleasure in the forefront, and often that's mothers with small children. They can't even think of anything but the child.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, for the most part, I guess, you know, being a mom, there's no, I mean, it was just easier for me to say, hey, I have a 9-year-old, and after I've worked all day, and I've left her around after school, and then I've come home and made dinner, and then put her to bed, and now it's 9 o'clock. It's like, do I want to have sex now? And the answer is no. Do I want to even think about that? No. So then how do we start to shift that in my own life so I can have like a healthy, juicy, vibrant relationship with my guy?
It's a big question. I mean, it's a big question. It requires a big answer.
yeah. So I have to put it, just like I put it, you know, I have a line that I in my website. My daughter goes to a play-based school, a diner and yoga school, and I, for a private school. And then I say, well, when do I put my attention on my play-based activity?
Great question.
Yeah. And I wonder, the whole way that women are raising their kids, it's so much attention on the children, and women get the least amount of attention on themselves.
Well, so they put their orgasm off for 18 years, something like
18
that.
18 years of put off. That is exactly right, Lori. I love that.
Yeah, like everything else comes first. Now, I'm not a mother, so I only understand this in my head, and I understand it from, it's what my mother did, and I said, I'm never going to do that.
Right.
So I said, no, I got other things I want to do on the planet, and I don't want to be stuck for a few years trying to figure out who I am again. So I'm thrilled to know of this website that you decided to start. Now, what would people find there?
What's interesting about this? So I do review erotica, and I read a lot of erotica. I mean, I'm reading it voraciously now. And so, you know, the erotica is fun. It's actually, I think for women, you know, especially if you're home, you've got kids and all this going on, I think erotica is a really good way to get back in touch. One of the ways that you can get back in touch with, you know, that G
Yeah, you could be fantasizing, you could be turned on,
yes.
You could be excited all the time.
Yes.
And then 100%. And then you could want to be with your partner. You could want to connect and make time for that.
Exactly. Exactly. Even make time for self-pleasure. I mean, it really gets that when you put attention on that part of your life, then it grows. So, I think it's a great way to get things moving in the right direction.
I think it's great. It's really
yes.
great, Lynn. And you know what? It's unique as well. So on the site, people will find reviews of erotica, things that you've read that you highly recommend for them. I'm going there. I'm going.
Oh, yes,
I
yes.
want them.
It's on the site. Is I'm working with one physician who's just incredible. He's in New Jersey, and he's what we would call a nutritional MD. He really focuses more on what you eat as a means of getting you healthy and losing weight. So not only do you lose weight, but you actually eat foods that promote health and turn around things like autoimmune disease and
sure.
all sorts. So, you know, you find information about him, and there's another person there I'm working with who does a lot of incredible coaching, you know, also for women around health and diet, but not really anything too fatty, really about, you know, getting really healthy.
Sounds terrific. And you contacted me because you wanted me to have a part of this website, and we got into the conversation. I said, let me interview you so we could tell people about this.
Yeah, awesome.
So this is awesome. It's very exciting, and I think it's perfect for Valentine's Day. So there's a couple of things here. One is, if you're listening to the show and it's around the Valentine's time that you're listening, because I know it's a podcast, you can listen to it whenever you want, but give yourself the gift of going to shadesofmama.com. That's shades, shades, of, O-F, mama, MOMMA.com. Give that gift to yourself. Perhaps get yourself a copy of 50 Shades of Grey so you can at least hop on and find out what we're talking about. And then go and find some other information, reviews of erotica, and ways that you could be turning yourself on, because ultimately that really is our own responsibility. Sex and happiness starts right here inside each and every one of us. It's not out there with a partner or with other people. It's really in here. Like, how much do I want to self-love, and how much sex and happiness do I want in my life? If it's up to me, I want it all. So, and Lynn, you sound like someone who wants it all too and wants to give it to others. So I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you, Lori. It's great what you're doing too. I think it's
thank
awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to end here. I got a second portion of the show coming up where we're going to have my friend and longtime guest, usually around Valentine's Day, come on. His name is Bill Pocaitis, and he'll be talking to us about how you can write poems to your love. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned to Sex and Happiness.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticost Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate Dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers, so your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com. Well, hi everyone. We're back, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and this is the second part of the Valentine's show for this year. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product, which you will hear about at the end of this segment. I'm really excited about Zestra. They've been my commercial sponsor for a long time, and it's doing wonders for women and rekindling their want and need of sexuality and intimacy. So you'll hear more. This part of the show, as I told you earlier in the first segment, is going to be with my dear friend Bill Plakaitis. And this is not the first time I've invited Bill to my show for Valentine's Day. Bill has the most romantic and amazing ideas for Valentine's and a tremendous repertoire of things that he's done and things he can suggest to people. Very, very creative, not too expensive, and wonderful ways to honor yourself or your significant other. So, Bill, welcome back to Sex and Happiness.
Thanks, Laurie. Good to be here on our Valentine's Day show.
So, Bill, you inspire me. You've told me things over the years that were the most simple to do and yet totally romantic things to do with a partner. And today I'm going to pick your brain a little bit. Usually I pick your brain, like, what should men do for women? But today I also am going to ask you about some ideas you might have for what women could do for men, or if people were in same-sex relationships, like how they could do something romantic for the other, and it's not based on gender or anything like that. So I want to stump you a little bit, because I never like anybody to be too prepared.
Well, I'm always prepared when it comes to romance.
Good.
Romance is my middle name.
That's the right response. So my question for you first off is, what could somebody do that's very simple for Valentine's Day and not terribly expensive? It wouldn't put them in the poorhouse.
First thing, and one thing that everyone can do that costs nothing and takes no time, is to be grateful, to be positive, and to be excited about a day in which you can share with the person you love your love for the person you love.
That's so sweet, Bill.
Yeah, just that way, just that. If you have that in your consciousness as part of your background thinking, all else will certainly show up appropriately. But we're going to give you some additional hints if you can't think beyond being in love.
That's what I like. That's what I like.
I wanted to mention some simple things that people can do that are out there all the time. And even up until 2 days before Valentine's Day, you can still do these. You can do giving a gift, whether it's a woman or a man, chocolate strawberries. You can't beat chocolate strawberries, because you can eat them by yourself, alone, you can eat them with another, and you can also eat them where you exchange the strawberries, and you hold the strawberry for me, and I hold the strawberry for you. So you can create all the intimacy you want around chocolate strawberries.
Now, did you learn this from me in the Gatte dinner?
I stole this from you in the Gatte dinner, or borrowed it, as we say in the trade. In addition to the chocolate strawberries are the gold-dipped roses. Some people just want something that they will remind the person day after day. And the gold-dipped roses, once again, you can find these online. These companies are out there. They do overnights. And the gold tip, it's a golden rose. It sits on your desk. It says, I love you, to the person who has it. So that's a nice way to have an outward representation of your inward feelings.
So this isn't a dozen roses, because I never got one of these gold roses.
We're going to get to that.
This is one rose.
One rose.
Okay.
Dipped in gold.
Okay.
And it lasts literally pretty much forever. And the third one I wanted to mention is M&Ms. You can now get M&Ms with sayings on them, like two or three words. So you could have things like, jump up. You could have things like, I love it. You could have another one, I love you. You could have for and ever. You could have you too. You know.
Wait a second. Is this like, what's the game? Is this like Scrabble? I mean, they just come in a bag of M&Ms that have words on them?
You can choose, and you can have all the same expression, or you can have up to five expressions that are two or three words, no more, because there's not that much printing space. But that's one to have in your back pocket. That might be a good one for people, especially if there are people you know who like M&Ms. So, you know, people who don't want any food, you can give them gold roses. Or, let's get to it, roses. Here is my preference for roses.
Okay, I like this. Go ahead.
Pink roses. Everybody should get pink roses in their life at least one time, if not many times. And you buy 12 pink long-stem roses and one long-stem white rose, because the person you're giving it to this too is the most wonderful of all roses, the white rose that stands out among the pink. Oh, I don't like pink and you want to do red? Yes. Once again, get a white rose to make the 13th rose that just punctuates that special person.
Excellent. So you don't, red roses aren't your thing though.
Red roses are something you give on Tuesday, the 12th of March, when there's no national holiday, there's no religious holiday, there's no activity going on, you're not even sure where you're having dinner, and you show up with 12 red roses. Every woman in the world loves them. Every man loves them too. Men love to get flowers. They don't get enough. They should have more.
All right, that's great. That's great. Hold on for 1 second. Thank you for explaining all that about roses, because I thought you were prejudiced against red roses. It seems like red roses are the thing promoted on Valentine's Day. So to make it different, what about yellow roses? What's your take on that?
Wonderful, especially on the third date after you've given red roses. Now you can move to yellow roses or the wonderful orange, kind of peach flavored roses. Those are extraordinary. And once again, a single white rose. Now, if you buy all white roses, a single pink rose, a single red rose. It's the idea that you want it to be special, special. Not just special, but special, special.
Yeah, it's great, Bill.
There are other ways to be special, special. These are things I pulled out of my pocket. But you could even get a zucchini and put a note on a stick-up, on a thingy post-it note that says, I love you, and put it on a zucchini. You can put it on asparagus. You can use any vegetable. You can also do that. Because it's the thought, and also that's just a little corny, a little strange, but it's also very fun.
So a person could walk into their refrigerator and find a post-it note on every single piece of fruit and vegetable in their refrigerator that says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
That is correct, that is correct, that is correct. You can never say I love you too many different ways and too many different times. And does it diminish the value of love? No, not on Valentine's Day, because it's a day of gratitude, being positive and just thinking about what's wonderful about the person in your life.
Right, right. Okay, what else do you have up your sleeve? What other Valentine's tricks do you have up your sleeve?
Well, one that takes a little more time, and once again you can do it the day before, is to write a letter to the person you live with that tells them about how wonderful it is to live with them. And you might record in there some of the things that happened in the last year that made it memorable. So, for example, in 1 year of my life, it was the dinner we had with 25 people, had no idea where they would sit, but we had the greatest time figuring out how to have 25 people in our small home. And we also let them bring their dogs and their cats. It was just wild and crazy, but it was also a lot of fun. And so I wrote in my letter that I wrote that time. And you put it in an envelope and place it under the pillow, or you could put it in their shoe, or you could put it in their jacket, coat pocket, or on the dashboard of their car. There's lots of different places you can put that letter.
So it's a surprise when they receive the letter. They have no idea that they're getting it.
Yes.
And then the stuff that you put in the letter is also surprising. It's, one might think it's everyday stuff, but it stands out as a memory.
Oh, sure. And some of these things are humorous, and some of them are just touching. They're touching to you. It's like seeing, I remember our next door neighbor had a baby, and when they came home from the hospital, they came over with their baby, and all of us held the baby, and that was a beautiful day. And I have great pictures of all that. So I could put the picture in there with the little note that says, we had a great day. That was a wonderful thing.
You know, what you're saying is feeling to me like taking the pressure off of Valentine's Day. Like, it always amazes me, like at Christmas and Valentine's Day, when people are doing things at the last minute and they're rushing and they got the last thing of roses in the drugstore. Like, why do they wait like that? They could just be doing things like this. They could be preparing it as a, really an act of love, not as an act of pressure.
I like to think of it as a creativity. An act of creativity is to think of the way you can deliver the message. The message is always, I love you and I'm grateful for you. It's a matter of how you deliver it. Now, even when I put the letter in her car, on the dashboard of her car, I make sure I have Godiva chocolates in the bedroom hidden in a shoebox.
You wouldn't do that in Phoenix, Arizona.
I would have hard candy.
Just saying. So this is, it's really good. It's great. Now we have just another minute or so in this segment, but I know that you have some kind of an earring trick. Like there's, yes. I remember you talking about giving things in pairs and how you do that. So I really want you to divulge that again, because there are some people out there who might be buying earrings for their beloved.
Yes, and there are a couple of ways to work this.
One, or it could even be candies. I don't care. It could be like chocolates.
It's important to put things under pillows. And one earring under a pillow suggests to the person who gets it that there's another earring somewhere. And you have that handy, because that's when you get to say, oh, here it is. And you put it, and you can put it right on her ear or his ear. Doesn't matter.
Right.
The point is that you go find the second one. It makes it a little more interesting and adventurous and exciting.
So it's like a scavenger hunt.
Well, I did that with 3 pairs of earrings when I couldn't decide which earrings were best, and I liked them all. So I had 2 underneath the pillow. I had 2 in the kitchen where the chai tea was that she always has every morning. So when she get the chai tea, there are earrings hanging there. And then I put 1 earring on her dresser, where it was outstanding, but it was only 1 earring. And she knew it was new. Where's the other one? And then I just waited to see what she would do and what she would say.
That's great.
And then both looked for the earring together. Of course, I had it secreted in my pants pocket. So
she did. Excellent. Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I'm Laurie Handlers. And I'm happy to be in this segment of the show with my dear friend Bill Plakaitis, who has about the most romantic ideas that I know. And what we're actually aiming to do is take your stress off of trying to create or find that perfect gift for your special someone. Bill's already given some ideas. When we come back, I'm going to ask him to talk about ways to greet your significant other or your beloved romantically, and then we're going to talk about some other things in writing, like how someone would go about writing a poem. So stay tuned. We're coming right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and my guest today is Bill Plakaitis, and Bill is an expert creative. I don't know what else to call him. He's like an expert at creating things, art, writing, marketing genius, poems, all kinds of things. And I especially like to have him on my Valentine's Day show because he really can help people take the mystery out of what they're going to do new, how they're going to create what they want and what they want to give a beloved or even themselves. So, Bill, what do you got in terms of greeting somebody romantically? What do you have up your sleeve about that?
A couple of suggestions, especially if people are in a relationship where each of them work or they do two different things. They don't work together. They're going to a different place that's workplace, or maybe one works at home and one goes to work somewhere else. The idea is that at some point, that person is going to reconnect with you during the day. You startle them when you do things like rent a perfect Humphrey Bogart white tuxedo.
Okay.
And meet them at the door, not in your sloppy jeans and sweatshirt, because you've been all day home all day working. Or even if you went to work, you go get that beautiful tuxedo, and you drive home in the tuxedo, and you show up at the door with the tuxedo, and of course your 13 roses that we mentioned before, 12 pink, one white, and whatever else you brought along, little treasures. But you present yourself in a wonderful way. Now, you can also dress as a Rajasthani potentate with a turban on your head. You can also wear a ballet outfit. There's whatever you'd like. So that just changes and makes the day totally different. It immediately says to someone, you're here to have fun and relax.
That also suggests to me that a person doesn't have to have, they don't have to be wearing Victoria's Secret lingerie, and they don't have to have the perfect body. Like if they're not, if they're not like perfectly curved or look like a Barbie or a Ken, and having to wear like all this sexy or latex stuff, they could actually wear something really creative and very festive in a different way.
Sure. And even one time what I did was I had not worn a suit and a tie for 7 years.
Oh.
I was out of that kind of business.
Yeah.
But I had 7 suits, one for each day of the week. And I had one that had a vest, and it was a totally custom designed suit, or made suit, so that when I showed up at the door, I was wearing a 3-piece suit with a vest with a tie, which totally blew her mind. She had never even seen me in a suit, let alone in a 3-piece suit. And then I had love letters that I had little messages in each of the pockets of my suit. And of course, I had the best pockets, so I could pull out my little notes and say, oh, and I also wanted to mention something else to you. You are just sensational when it comes to listening to me, and things like that. We'll get to that, though, when we talk about poems.
Okay, excellent. So for everyone out there, you could dress special for the person in a different way than you would normally dress, like different from your regular dressing up. You could dress up stepping up in a whole nother way. And I don't want to take away, by the way, from lingerie. I'm not saying that's bad. It's just that that seems to be the only thing on people's mind these days. And not everyone is a lingerie girl or guy.
Number two, the next year I came and entered the door wearing my sarong. You can't go wrong when you're wearing a sarong. And of course I had on shells and necklaces, and I had rings, and I had a bandana around my head. And I was just, you know, as fun and crazy and Caribbean as I could be. So that's another example of what you can do. And this is Minneapolis at 20 degrees below zero in a sarong. One does think about undergarments.
All right, great. And so I want to move to poetry. Like, poetry seems daunting for someone who's never written a poem, who doesn't fantasize themselves as, or see themselves as Robert Frost or E.E. Cummings or some of the other great poets that have been around. So how does a person go about writing a poem to a person that they love?
Two things. One, as I mentioned earlier, is we have an attitude of gratitude, a feeling of love on this special day, Valentine's Day, lots of wonderful energy around that. So we want to feel that in our body, feel that energy. Number two, there is no poem to write. What you write are lines of words, and then they're lined up to look like a poem. They don't have to rhyme, because they're all about one thing. So it's kind of free verse, that's another way people call it. But just imagine you're writing five sentences, and those sentences are going to be about something, and they're about your loved one. And I'll tell you how to get to that in a second. So we're not concerned about rhyming, we're not comparing about a rhyme scheme, we're just trying to get some words down that exemplify our gratitude and our love. So what we want to think about next is, how do they look? What are their eyes like? What are their lips like? What is their profile like? Well, you have to tell me that. But when I look at a woman's eyes, I look at the beauty of the color of their eyes. Does it change? Is it the same? What color are the eyes? What colors are inside the eyes? What goes on around the outsides of the eyes?
Do they sparkle?
Do they sparkle? Do they have wonderful treatments with makeup so that they're twice their size? And, you know, there's wonderful things that happen with the eyes. So now we think about that. Then we think about how we feel about the person. Are they soft? Are they warm? Are they sharp and angular and muscular? Are they beautiful because they fill space with happiness, a smiling face? So that's how we feel about them. So we want to get in touch with some of the feelings we have about them.
So the feeling is internal to you. Mm-hmm. When you focus on this person, you look at the feeling you have when you're with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy when I'm with you. I want to jump up when I'm with you. I want to laugh when I'm with you. I want to cry.
I want to hug when I'm with you. I want to cry. I want to kiss. I want to smooch. That's like hugging with more. So I want to think about those feelings. And the third one is, what have you done together? Here are some simple things. You go to the grocery store together. You go to the movies together. But there's more than that. There's, what did you do together at the park? What did you do together at the sea, at the mountains, in nature? What have you done on trips where you vacationed, where you just sat in the sand and drank a warm drink because it sat in the sand with you, but you were together with the person who you were thinking about, their beautiful eyes, and they're at the beach, the place you had a feeling of that beauty. So you get in touch with these things, and these are the things that becomes the words of the poem. So your eyes are like the ocean when I look at you.
Sounds are you warm. Talking to me? Am I getting seduced here?
Your lips are like two viscous creatures waiting to devour me. Wait a minute, where did you come up with that word viscous? Well, you go to the dictionary and look for fun words. Or you could just say your lips are red and succulent. Oh, that's still too big. How about your lips are red and tasty? That's easy. Or like candy. That's one line. We have four more lines to go in our poem.
So we got one line is your lips are tasty like candy. That's an easy line. Okay.
And I love to be with you in the mountains and by the sea. I love to be with you by the brook and by the golf course. I don't know what you've been to or what places, but that's it. Even by the brook and the golf course is enough. It starts to tell where you like to be with someone.
I like to be with you at the gas station.
I like to be with you at the gas station.
I like to be with you in the supermarket.
Double discounted days, double coupon days are my favorite. And then, so we have, and what you've done is even more than that. So then it's more like, what do they bring you to you in this relationship you have with them? So, and I really appreciate all the time you give me. I appreciate you listening to me. I appreciate you smiling at me. I appreciate you touching me. These are simple things, but I've got three lines of interesting things to say. Two more to go. Where would you like to take this person with their lovely lips, with their beautiful feelings, with the way that they dress for you, they listen to you? I want to take you to an island. Hawaii is the destination for you and me. There's sentence number four. Going to take them someplace. You can also take them downtown to go to a local cafe and have a double martini. That's okay. Or a good fruit drink. That would be nice. And then number five is, what does a future hold? And the future in love is the next moment. not 2 weeks, not 3 months, not down the road. In the next moment, we'll even be more in love. And I know being with you now is the most important moment. I know being with you now is the most important moment, for whatever reason you'd like to add.
I just had this fantasy that 10,000 people are going to write a poem. Your lips are red and tasty. I like when you touch me at the gas station.
Yes.
And look, we're going to Hawaii soon, but right now our love is in the next moment and the next moment and the next moment. So I have a feeling that at least 10,000 listeners are writing the same poem.
And use it. Use it over and over.
Yeah, you can use it and change all the parts about it. Yes. To interchange different pieces. You made it so simple. Even a child could do this.
Yeah, no rhyming, no onomatopoetic, no, nothing like that. It's just simple statements of how you feel and what you're involved with that person.
So this would also work for people who are polyamorous and they have like 5 different partners. They mm-hmm. could write a different one for each person. It would be totally unique. I think it would be better if they wrote a different one for each
person.
Well,
they might go to a different island, unless they're taking all 5 to Hawaii with them. But they can also just interact or interlace all the different aspects of this. But the idea of writing is just to write. My former wife gave me this clue when she said, how do you write? You start by writing a sentence. Just write any sentence, and that gets you started. In this case, write the sentence about what it is you... what you love about looking at them. What is it that you see there when you look at your love?
That's great, Bill. Thank you so much for being with me on this show for Valentine's Day. I feel that we've given people some really, really creative ways to celebrate their love.
Yeah.
Now, if I didn't have someone to celebrate with, like I remember 1 year for Valentine's Day, I bought myself a red bathrobe, a really cuddly, fuzzy red bathrobe, and I bought myself a doll. I hadn't had a doll since I was a little girl, and there was a doll that I think Mattel made at some point. It was called Rainbow Bright, and that's how I felt. So I had this doll, and I had this red bathrobe, and that felt like the perfect Valentine's Day for me solo. And so I'm hoping that people could get the idea that they could also buy themselves 12 pink roses and 1 white.
You know, love is like a box of chocolates. So the only thing I would add to that is 4 Godiva candies. 4 of their chocolates that you could have so that you gifted yourself in your robe with your Ultra Bright. Was it Ultra Bright?
No, Ultra Bright's like a product. This was...
What's her name, Bright?
I can't remember now.
The Bright doll. And then you have the gift to yourself. Or
Rainbow Bright.
Rainbow Bright and 4 pieces of Godiva chocolate. Great price, great size, comes in gold, all ready to go. And then you eat them slowly, let them melt in your mouth so you protract the amount of time that you're enjoying being with yourself.
Yes. Well, that's tantric. I didn't know about tantra back then, mm-hmm. but I would do it that way now.
Sure.
I might even drink champagne, so that's wonderful. Well, thank you, Bill, for being my guest. If people listening want to get more in touch with Bill Plakaitis, you can go to my website, butterflyworkshops.com. Bill is a regular featured blogger on the blog on Butterfly Workshops, and he is a person to get in touch with, especially if you need a jumpstart in your creativity. That's for pleasure or business. He's an amazing creative force. Thanks, Bill, for being with me. And I am looking forward to being with you again on the next show, everyone. Please come back to Sex and Happiness. It's been my pleasure. Happy, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-